Meanwhile, in Canada!
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we're going to welcome Jeff Hammerberg. I knew I was going to screw that up. He is the founder of GayRealEstate.com, which is a real estate service specifically servicing the LGBT community. I mean, I'm sure that they service more than just the LGBT community, but they're made for us. It's ours. Leave it alone. Thank you. My name is Tom. I am your host, and as always, I'm here with my incredible bitches, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
All right. So welcome back, boys. Welcome back, Chris.
Hello, hello.
We missed you last week.
I missed you guys, too.
Well, I mean, you were part of the show, but it's a long story, this whole stitching thing that I had to do last week. But
I was like, I got to go home.
Kind of a pun.
Yeah, we made it work. So for those of you who heard last week's show, it's kind of weird because, you know, Chris wasn't part of the episode. And then we had our friend Meg, who came over, who I finally met. Amazing. I loved her. And she was also part of the episode. And Dr. G was part of the episode. And so what ended up happening is that logistically, we just couldn't make a live episode work with Dr. G because of scheduling conflicts. So we pre-recorded his segment where Chris was present the week prior or right after our last Monday show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then that following Monday, we had Meg on as a guest host who joined us and sat with us. And then I had to put it all together. So if you look at the video that's available now, you're going to see that there's two different, I'm wearing two different sets of clothes, you know, and all
it's
that
the
good
Nancy
stuff.
Pelosi clap.
Thank you. You're such a bitch. But anyway, we made it work. And so that's basically what happened. If you're wondering why we were all over the place on that episode, it just explains a lot. Hmm. But how are you, boys?
Good. Now that you mentioned that special episode, I did just want to give a shout out to Hans and to Colin. Numerous people actually reached out to me, and I haven't been able to email anyone back, but I just wanted to give a shout out and say thanks for reaching out to me, guys.
It was something, you know, actually, because you just left to Canada for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sort of, kind of. And so we really haven't had a chance to really discuss with you what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
What is that supposed to mean?
Oh, she's been busy.
Mm. Oh, Lord. Don't go there, Trish.
I'm going to cut you both.
Don't go there. Well, you know, let's just say she's been having a good time. So
she was in Canada for a week.
I know. So, Christopher, why don't you tell us, first of all, tell us a little bit about what you think about the episode, the final product, and then tell us about Canada.
Well, I thought it was special episode. It was very different. It was very
for a special boy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. Surely. Oh no, I liked it. I think it was very informative. It was kind of, like I said, I felt very vulnerable opening up about that. But you know, I was happy to talk about it and not be so afraid of it.
Yeah.
Or be, you know, it's nice to put it all behind me.
Literally. And let's just say that if you don't like the behind, you'll like the front end. Let's just say that.
Aww.
Much.
Well, listen, there's got to be something you like about him. He's also hairy, too. So
this is true.
So and tell us about Canada. How was Canada?
Canada was fantastic. I drove up to Montreal in my car.
Well, at least this time it wasn't snowing.
I timed it right. I drove up on Saturday to beat the snow. But it snowed pretty heavily on Sunday. So my car was parked and I wasn't moving anywhere. I was just going to be walking from then on. So yeah, I drove up by myself. I was going to check out some universities. I went to look at McGill and Concordia. Drove up Saturday. Had a little incident with Airbnb.
I've heard so much about Airbnb lately. Negative shit.
Yeah. But I had used Airbnb many times, including in Canada. When Toby and I went to New Brunswick last year, we used an Airbnb.
Pizza Box.
Pizza box, exactly. Yeah. Pizza box, good memory. We used two different Airbnbs, one in St. John and one in Fredericton. But this was the first time using Airbnb where I didn't rent a whole apartment. I rented a single room that had a shared kitchen, shared bathroom. Was I excited about the fact that I was going to share a bathroom with six strangers? Absolutely not. But the reason I decided to do it, it was cheap. It was very affordable. I was like, that's the only reason I can go at this time in my life. And it was spring break. So with the incident,
you are the one person that goes north on spring break. anyway, Chris,
everyone's back in their bikinis, and I'm grabbing my wood, like my big
old hat.
Oh no,
you had your bikini.
Oh yeah, well you know, yeah, it was new. So I ended up moving into the Delta by Marriott. Fantastic hotel. I recommend it to anyone who's going up to Montreal. Beautiful hotel. And when they heard about this, what had happened to me, the lady at the front desk put me up on the 16th floor with a balcony, you know, in the negative 20 degree weather. But that's okay. I still went out there.
Can you smoke out there?
No, you're not supposed to. And I didn't. I was very respectful because they were so good to me. They sent me I know you would have, Trish. They sent me up some beer, some snacks, a handwritten letter.
Of course they did.
It was very sweet of them.
What did the handwritten letter say?
They were saying that if there's anything that I need to feel more comfortable and enjoy the rest of my time in the city, just to call them. They said I'm in a very safe environment. It was really sweet of them. They were really cool. And every time I walked by, they were asking, you know, how I'm doing, where I want to go, give me advice of places to go. And then Sunday, I went on a haunted pub crawl, which was awesome.
A haunted pub crawl.
Montreal is considered the most haunted city in Canada, perhaps all of North America.
Wow.
With over 40 known haunted pubs. I believe the next one is Savannah, which comes in around 21 or 27 haunted pubs.
Huh.
So with this, it was $20 to do it. This guy is incredibly knowledgeable, teaches you all about the history of the city, and we went to four different pubs. Now, it started as 21 strangers. By pub number two, we were all best friends.
Well, especially with you, of course.
Oh, it was a blast, and I met these three girls from Pennsylvania. We became really close. Like, at first, I thought they might have thought I was hitting on them, so I kind of hinted. I was like, oh, yeah, last time I was in Montreal, I was with my roommate, but he and I were dating at the time. That was me like, okay, I'm gay. Like, I'm not hitting on you. And then I became their best gay friend.
You really did sort of.
They were like, this Yeti is hitting on us, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Let's just skin him and wear his fur. Like, pretty much. So you had I want to go back to this Airbnb thing. You had a really bad experience. You ended up renting through Airbnb, and when you got there, it was a scam.
It seemed to be that. There were people in my room. I put in the code to get into the main entrance, and everything was fine. And when I went up to my room on the second floor, I put in the code on the doorknob, didn't open, did it again, and then I started hearing voices from the other side of the door. And then the door opened up, and it was a girl and what I'm assuming her boyfriend. And he didn't speak any English. She knew very, very little English. So I'm saying, this is my room. And they just shut the door in my face. And I was like, okay. So I messaged the owner, and he told me to move into room 5, which was across from that my room, room 6. Now, room 5 just had an old doorknob on it. No lock, no anything. And I was like, I am not leaving my passport, my MacBook, my money in an unlocked room in a foreign country.
Yeah.
So I contacted Airbnb, and they said someone will be there in 10, 15 minutes to put a new doorknob on. After that, immediately I went outside to keep an eye on my car because you had to have a permit where I was parked. And this guy came up from the apartment right next door and was showing me Airbnb on his phone, and it was a conversation all in French. So I was thinking, oh, maybe it translated what we were saying. So he comes inside because I think it's the guy. He starts walking around the apartment taking videos and pictures, and then another guy walks in. And they both they kind of have me like cornered up against the wall, and they're asking me the code. What's the code to get into the house? And at that point, I'm like, no, something's wrong. I'm like, if they were here to fix it, they would know the code. So I grabbed my money, my passport, and I went outside, and they came with me, and I shut the door behind me. Then they tried to get me to go in their car, and I was not having that. So I'm still on hold waiting for Airbnb. Three other guys show up. Apparently, I didn't shut the door all the way, and they push the door, and they go inside. All my shit's in there, so I run inside too, and there's five of them now, and just me, and three of them run upstairs, and I'm able to get my luggage and run out of the Airbnb, get in my car, and drive off, all while on the phone with Airbnb, and the woman's like, go to a hotel right now, and we'll figure everything out.
Wow.
Did they pay for your hotel?
I still have to fight a little bit more with them, because I was demanding that they paid for everything. They ended up
Airbnb or
something. Airbnb because mm-hmm. I was at that point I couldn't move to a cheaper hotel because Sunday it was snowing and I said the plan was Saturday I get to the Airbnb, I park my car and I'm not moving until Wednesday because of the weather. But I had moved into this hotel and Airbnb eventually I ended up to get $180 out of them. Now the hotel ended up costing me $470. Mm-hmm. I went there with the expectation of paying $120 for the 5 nights I was going to be there, not $150 a night.
Well, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And so for those who are planning to travel international, you know, please do your due diligence. I mean, I would really, you know, look at reviews, speak to other people who have stayed there if possible.
If there are no reviews, do not book it.
Right, exactly. And there were plenty of reviews for this place. There were. It was just, I ran into the 5 bad people in Canada.
Interesting.
But well, other than that, it was a nice
trip. I'm sorry that you had to go through that, but you went through that haunted crawl through all of those bars. And what else? Did you do anything else?
Well, Wednesday I was supposed to have appointments with advisors at McGill and Concordia, but I had to leave Tuesday because I couldn't afford it at that point. I was just going because it was supposed to be a cheap trip. And then I ended up having to beat the weather because snow was expected. So I never got to meet the advisors, but I made some great friends. And I have like 5 contact numbers with people that I was hanging out with. And next time I'm up there, I can hang out with them. I was able to walk around the universities. I was supposed to have a Quebecois culture and language lesson with this woman at a famous patinery. It was like $10 I got on TripAdvisor, and you sit down with her for an hour and she teaches you the slang of the Quebecois language, things that the expressions that they say that would make no sense if you were to say it in Paris or something like that, and then teach you a little bit of the history of the language and the culture. And I thought that would have been a really cool experience.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I also had to miss that because I had to depart early.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But at least you had your poutine.
Right? I had it every night. It was so goddamn good. I love it.
I can imagine. Yeah. And Nicholas, how are you, my darling?
I'm good.
How was your weekend?
It was fine. I was like super old this weekend.
Well,
I worked on Friday, and then on Saturday, I made my grandma's homemade red sauce, made homemade meatballs, and like it was so good. It was so good. And then I watched Queer Eye all day.
Queer Eye.
Season 3.
When you said old, all I pictured was you crocheting with your glasses down, sipping on like Harvey's Bristol Cream Sherry.
That's kind of what it was like, only I was also cooking. So,
Well, that's fun. Yeah. So, and I'm sure that we're gonna hear about Queer Eye later on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are. So, I can tell you that I have been fighting an upper respiratory infection since last Tuesday. Hence why the video for last Monday's episode ended up being posted on Thursday because I was going through it. And I literally, it was rough. It was really rough. I felt like I couldn't breathe for like half the week. And then, of course, Saturday, I was feeling a little better, and I knew that I had to work that night. And I went and I did a couple of things in the morning just to get some stuff. You know, spring is finally starting to show its face, sort of, kind of. So I was like, oh, let me go to Lowe's. I'll start, you know, picking up some stuff. For me? You can't hear me?
For me.
Oh.
Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't hear myself. So,
and I'm the one that's deaf. So, so I went and I was just so exhausted. By 2 p.m., I was like, I need a nap. I took a nap. I woke up at 7:30 at night, and then it was work. Mm-hmm. I had to be at work, you know, 2 hours later. So I ended up just going into work, and that was it. And then Sunday, I woke up, and I'm now deaf in this ear. So, like, when I'm having conversations with people, you see me like this. I'm like, what's going on? You know, trying to figure it out, but it'll all work out. I'll get better eventually and, you know, do what you got to do. And then I work Sunday and then I work today and then the show and, you know, the show must go on.
That's right. And before
it's fine.
I was going to say, before we move on, just because you had mentioned reviews, I just wanted to give a shout out one more time to Haunted Montreal. If you're ever in Canada, I highly recommend going on the pub crawl. And the funny thing was, one of the reviews, it was a good review. I'm talking about it as we're walking to the second pub. And it's a girl saying, you know, at first, I wasn't sure how I felt about drinking at 3 p.m. on a Sunday. And I was like, 3 p.m. on a... Girl, you're late.
hello. You feel like everybody else. It's like, drink, girl.
What else do you do on a Sunday? But yeah, so definitely want to check that out if you're ever in Montreal. Haunted Montreal. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Is that, do they do that in a specific season or?
All year round.
Oh.
All year round. They'll take you to different pubs. They'll take you to different areas of the city. And I went to 4 different Irish pubs and it was really cool. Really cool.
Interesting.
Wonderful.
Well, being that we are already talking about drinking and crawling and pubs and stuff like that, why don't we talk about today's suggested cocktail?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Christopher, take it away.
Yes. Today's suggested cocktail, we actually have two, the House Hunter and the House Huntress, allegedly the cocktail of choice for every weary house hunter who have been out on a long day's hunting. Mm. Interesting wording. This is a very simple mixed cocktail using just two ingredients. The House Hunter consists of 2 ounces of rye whiskey and one ounce cherry brandy. Thoroughly stir the whiskey and brandy together with a spoon and pour into a heavy tumbler, add ice, and garnish with a maraschino cherry, should you so desire. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go ahead and read how to build the second one, but the House Huntress, for you ladies out there, one measure rye whiskey, 1 measure cherry brandy, 1 measure fresh cream, and then a dash of triple sec.
All see, right. You put those both in there, and I was like, I think the House Hunter is inclusive of everybody. No one really wants any fucking cream after they've been busting their ass all day. They just want the straight up booze. So let's be honest, it's the House Hunter.
That's true,
and that encompasses everybody. Mm-hmm. We don't need a House Huntress, but thank you for thinking of everybody.
Mm-hmm. And Christopher, can you do me a favor? Take a deep breath and clear your throat because you sound like you got 20 pounds of cum in there.
I'm kind of busy. I'm kidding.
I love you, honey. There you go. See? Oh, you're going through it as well.
Yeah, it's been bothering me pretty bad.
Oh, I wonder why.
All right. I do have to say something out loud though. This cocktail was actually just called the Hunter, and I turned it into the House Hunter because why not? So this is the House Hunter cocktail because we do have a real estate agent on for the LGBTQ+ community later.
That's right. Yay. That's right. Our dear, good real estate friend, he did something pretty incredible with given the market that he's in and what he's trying to do and what he's been trying to do for all these years. It's amazing that, I didn't even know that to think when you're buying a home. Look for an LGBTQ realtor.
Well, it's funny. Well, you did.
Yeah. Well, mine happened to be gay, yeah. But I mean, I didn't go to a specific place because the place that he works for. Mm-hmm.
It's a resource.
It's a resource, yeah. But it's not really like specifically for the LGBT community.
But it's funny because we were talking last week with Meg on the show, and she was talking about how her neighbors, another lesbian couple, bought their home. I'm pretty sure she said, sort of based on the fact that they were hanging a rainbow flag outside their house. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, this is a good neighborhood to be in. And so I think that the conversation we'll have today is important.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned for Jeff Hammerberg, who'll be joining us after the break when we come back on the second part of the show.
I fucking love his name.
It's like appropriate, too, for servicing the LGBT community.
All right.
So why don't we jump into some stories because we do have a guest, and of course it's already 7:50 p.m. Where does the time go?
It goes by so quickly.
I know, time flies.
Canada takes everything.
It does.
All right. Well, listen. Well, I'll kick it off. I just wanted to point out, GayStarNews.com posted last Wednesday a story, which was basically indicating that the state of Massachusetts House of Representatives,
Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Well, I'm saying the state. It's a state.
It's a commonwealth.
I'll cut you. Anyway, they passed a bill last Wednesday on March 13th banning the practice of conversion therapy on minors. Now, again, this is only at the House of Representatives level. The bill was then forwarded over to the Senate, where if it would pass, eventually it'll land on a desk of the governor, which he, of course, is expected to sign into law.
And he's a Republican governor.
Yes, he is. But, you know,
I think he's very centrist, very moderate.
I for whatever reason, I thought that Massachusetts had already done this. And I'm like,
I thought so too.
Where were they?
And they were the first state to legalize same-sex marriage.
Yeah. So I was kind of shocked. I was like, I thought they already did this, but apparently not. So this happened last week on Wednesday. If Massachusetts ultimately passes the bill, it will become the 16th state, along with the District of Columbia, to ban conversion therapy on minors. So far, Connecticut, California, Nevada, New Jersey, the District of Columbia, Oregon, Illinois, Vermont, New York, New Mexico, Rhode Island, Washington, Maryland, Hawaii, New Hampshire, and Delaware have all passed legislation banning conversion therapy. There's also numerous cities and counties all over the U.S. that have done so as well. So I think this is amazing because I don't know if you guys remember when we were having a discussion, I don't know, probably about, I would say 6 months ago, we were talking about one of the states that had recently passed it. And I had made a comment saying that this is going to percolate within the states, much like marriage equality did. They're going to wait until at least 30 plus states officially ban conversion therapy before someone sues and one of those cases ends up in the Supreme Court and they just make it the law of the land.
Well, I mean, we're thinking about the court that we presently have.
Well, I mean, yes, but, you know, there's a precedent set as far as LGBT rights and protecting our ability to be able to be safe from harm. And I think that this is going to work pretty much in the same way.
I hope so.
You know, and I hope that people take the time to watch Boy Erased because holy shit, does it like shine light on what these kids actually go through. And you will see in the movie, if you watch it, that they are like, just get through it. Just keep quiet and get through it, because whether you decide to change or pretend to change, just get through it and protect yourself. And it's no kid at any age, no person at any age should have to go through something like that.
Yeah.
And that film is so touching because I know personally when I came out, my parents, that wasn't even a conversation that ever came up. But like, I could imagine if the struggle that I went with just with my family, and then on top of that being sent away to change something about yourself that's so innate and so base that you no longer, you lose self-identity, you lose so much of who you are, and you just hate yourself. And there are strong individuals like in Boy Erased that say, no, this is not okay, and stand up for themselves. But a lot of times, people are just put down to a point where they are literally destroyed. And it's terrible. Conversion therapy is terrible. The fact that the word conversion is in it is terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not amphibians. We're not like animorphs. It's not going to change.
Animorphs.
We are who we are. And like, it just bothers me. But that movie was so powerful. And if you haven't seen it, please watch it. Everybody needs to watch this movie and share it and share its message, because that's what's going to change the rhetoric, and that's what's going to change people's minds is conversations and stories like this.
Well, oh, no, please.
No.
I was going to say, if you look at the states that have already outlawed conversion therapy, it's essentially these states around the coast. I mean, of course, there are some inland, but this is the scary part is how long this is going to continue to go where states are not following suit. When you look at middle America, I mean, there's nowhere, no representation in here. Okay, Illinois, that's a little bit more inland. But other than that, think about the kids in Mississippi, Alabama. Think about the kids in Indiana, where our vice president calls home, where he, as governor, was huge into conversion therapy. It's going to have to go quicker, because this is only the outline of the United States. Yeah. Middle America, the Bible Belt, the Deep South, they're doing nothing to protect the youth of the LGBT.
Of course not. And you know, one of the things that needs to be pointed out too is that conversion therapy is a fucked up therapy that has been debunked and condemned by a lot of major medical and mental health organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, according to the HRC's national field director, Marty Rose, he says, you know, we've already done the research on this.
Right.
We have the information. It's not good. We should not be doing this.
What they're doing is increasing youth suicide. What they're doing is creating an environment in which people hate themselves, hate themselves to an extent that they can't change themselves. So because I'm not accepted, I'm going to end my life. And that is what conversion therapy is doing. It is, I hate to say it, in a way, a small version of genocide. It is a people trying to oppress a certain group of people to the point where they hate themselves so much that they are killing themselves.
Here's what the gentleman from the HRC had to say. In a statement, he wrote the following. He says, quote, "No child should have to endure such painful and life-threatening experience. And we applaud the Massachusetts House of Representatives for taking such decisive action to protect LGBTQ youth. Now, it is critical for the state of Massachusetts Senate to quickly pass this bipartisan protection so that they can make their way to the governorship, because this is going to impact your child in such a negative way that it may be too late by the time you realize that what you're doing is actually wrong to your child."
Mm-hmm. Can I tell a personal story really yes. quick? We have about 4 minutes left.
Yep, two.
All right. So I just want to say, so I've talked about... the doctor that did the TED talk, right?
Yes.
And he brought the fact that his son was gay because in the time of his birth, his mother needed support and love and emotional intelligence. And that child that is gay, even though he's the oldest in the TED talk, really cares for the family. He's the caregiver for the family. Mm-hmm. And I've recently... not recently, continually, been through things with my family where it turns out that I have to be the caregiver for the family. And if it weren't for my ability to innately tap into my emotional intelligence and feel and understand and love so deeply, my family would be a mess. I'm not saying that I'm the glue, but sometimes that's how I feel. I feel like, and stuff like conversion therapy, you're taking away something that could be so innately perfect and so exactly God's plan for your family. Your family mm-hmm. needed something and they brought it to you and you're going to try to change it. And well, that's what bothers me about it so much.
There's a sense of comfort and a sense of intelligence that you bring to our relationship as friends, right? And I feel that for you, your family reaches out to you in times of need because... for whatever reason, as crazy as you are, you know, during any other normal part of your day, when it comes to crisis, you sort of kind of buckle down and do what needs to be done. And I think that people know that about you. And so if something were to go wrong, the first person they're going to call, the first person that would go, "Hey, Nick, I'm going through this. What do you think I should do?" You know, and sometimes I already know what I need to do, but I just need that reinforcement. And I think that's probably what they're feeling. You know, it's like you're just that type of person that will buckle down and do what needs to get done in times of need.
But I think that's true for a lot of LGBTQ plus individuals. We go through a lot as mm-hmm. Kids growing up and becoming who we are and who we will be, right? We go through a lot. And so in going through that at a young age, we have already dealt with a lot of things that people don't deal with.
Right.
And so in that, we have an ability, an innate ability to help and support people in times of need. And a lot of times, I don't think families realize how important that person can be to a family, whether it's a moment of crisis or just a moment of love.
That's
like,
right.
It's just about love and support and being one and being together. You know what I mean? And a lot of times everybody's looking at all the different differences. And as us, individuals in the LGBTQ plus community, there are so many differences, but we all just want to, there's drama, but love one another.
Yeah, well, I mean, whether it's our community or not, in times of need, when things get tough, you know, you see people push aside those differences and they come together to sort of kind of get through what's in front of them.
Exactly.
You know, and that's also very true in human nature, you know? When something drastic happens, something big, think of 9/11, for example. The whole country came together, regardless if you were Republican or Democrat or independent. It was just it was a sense of unity because we needed to get through that.
Even something on a smaller scale, yeah. Like when I was at that concert and I was almost trampled to death. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And somebody picked up my brand new iPhone X, and instead of stealing it, they picked up the phone call from somebody who was looking for me because they were scared, and then met that person, gave them my phone, and eventually I got a hold of my friend because my phone was then in their hand.
Yeah.
There are good people out there.
Yeah.
I mean, again, difficult situations tend to bring out the best in humanity at times. And then there's other instances in where it doesn't, but, you know, that's a story for another day. Well, listen, we do have a guest that's coming on who's going to join us. We're going to be joining Jeff from GayRealEstate.com. Sorry. I got it.
I was like, is she going to get there?
So we're going to leave you with some music. And when we come back, we have our guest, Jeff, who's going to join us. Here we go. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was We Need to Be Loved by the incredible Anthony Starbell, who I love that kid, man. What a sweet voice. It's just so smooth. Anyway, we're back. We're back from the break. And joining us now is, of course, the founder of GayRealEstate.com. And Jeff Hammerberg is joining us all the way from... Where are you, by the way?
I'm in Palm Springs, California.
So where, he's having a great time.
Where else? Where else?
It's 85 degrees here.
And the interview is over.
Well, Jeff, we are in the Northeast, so it's a little cold on our end over here. I'm sure that you are just enjoying your weather, looking nice and tan and amazing.
Yeah, it's the weather here is pretty amazing. Of course, in July, we'll be complaining about it, but for today, it's perfect.
Well, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us on our show. It is awesome to have you on because we're going to be talking about real estate, gay real estate at that. And it's not something that as a gay man who purchased a home 2 years ago, I would have thought about. And it's wonderful that you have decided to join us to talk a little bit about your endeavor.
Well, thanks so much for the invitation, Tom. I'm happy to join you guys.
So hi. It's so good to see you. We've been emailing. So just tell us a little bit about your company and what your goal is, what you're doing. Like, why is it important for the LGBTQ plus community to have a company like you supporting them when they're looking for a home?
Sure. Let me start with why we were founded. So in the early 90s, I was working at the very first RE/MAX office in the country, and that was in Littleton, Colorado. So a lot of people don't know this. When you walk into a real estate company and you're looking to buy or sell a home, you're typically aligned with the person that's on floor duty. So this person is someone that's scheduled to sit for a four-hour period, and they would meet with anyone that walks in or calls in during that period. Now, one thing to note here is, you know, the really great agents, they don't take floor duty because they're busy with their clients, they're right. Marketing, they're hustling. So you never know who you're going to get hooked up with. On this particular day, this gay male couple came into this office. Again, this is 1993, Littleton, Colorado, very conservative, still conservative today. So they walk in to buy a home, and they are then connected with the floor agent. So I knew this guy. He's a decent guy, and he took this couple into the back room, solid glass conference room. And I mentioned that because all of the agent offices surrounded this conference room, so everyone could kind of see what was going on. So the agent met with this couple, a couple left, and when the guy came back into the back room again, a lot of the agents were walking by. They're like, hey, Rudy, you know, kind of egging them on and giving them a little bit of grief. And I just thought to myself, I mean, something is not right about this picture. Now, I knew this guy and I liked this guy, but I was like, you know, this couple's needs are not being met. Are they going to be, you know, is he going to bring them out and sell them a home? Yes. Is he going to be able to represent their best interest? Does he, you know, is he capable of, you know, representing them as fairly, as equally, as honestly as he would a heterosexual couple? And I just knew that something just didn't feel right about this. So it was at that point, this is before the internet, that I started a company called Home Lounge. And it really just started with a classified ad in the Advocate magazine.
What year was it that you started that company?
1993.
Okay.
Yeah, 1993. And so the first year we did a couple of referrals. Home Lounge eventually turned into what is GayRealEstate.com today. We have 1,500 agents in our database. So our company and those thousands of affiliated gay, lesbian, and gay-friendly realtors have now for over 25 years represented members of our LGBTQ community in buying a home, selling a home, and relocating in every city across the country.
So aside from the obvious reasons why you should have a gay real estate agent, if you're a gay couple, whether it is lesbian, transgender, gay, what are the benefits of seeking out a company that specifically caters to the community?
You know, a lot of our business are people that are moving, for instance, from Denver to Palm Springs or moving from San Francisco to Omaha, you know, so they're moving into a city where they really don't know anyone. Now, the last thing I would ever do is suggest that, you know, every realtor on the planet is either not gay friendly or gay friendly. I mean, the statistics in the real estate business probably are about the same statistically nationwide. You know, at this point, you know, we still have, you know, we're about 50-50 in the country, it seems like, with almost everything. So we just feel like with the largest potential purchase you're going to make in your lifetime, you want to work with an advocate. You know, it helps relieve stress and uncertainty when moving to a new city and dealing with what may be the largest purchase of your life.
So what you do is you connect people, no matter what city they're going to, with a potential gay real estate agent that would help them find an area or a neighborhood that is comfortable and safe for them. Is that correct?
Sure, that's right. Well, you know, so you could go to gayrealestate.com. There's 1,500 plus agents on there. You can enter a city and state. We typically have a list of up to about 15 realtors. In a city like Palm Springs, where I live, where 40% of the community is LGBTQ, you can swing a cat and hit a gay realtor here. Yeah, in, many places in the country, that's not true.
Yeah.
So, you know, We limit the number of agents per city to 15 just because we don't think it serves anyone to have to look through a list of 100 agents either.
Agreed.
So if you're going to go to Omaha, you can look through this list. They're either gay, lesbian, or gay friendly. You can read their complete bio. You can then contact this agent for a free relocation kit to that city, set up a conversation, start the conversation, and there's no fee to be represented as a buyer.
So can I ask, you mentioned a relocation kit. What exactly is a relocation kit and what does it do?
Most relocation kits today are electronic. So if you're interested in moving to Minneapolis, Minnesota, or to Connecticut, or wherever you might be moving to, you can contact a realtor on our site and they will send a relocation kit. Now, you can request whatever you want in there at gayrealestate.com. You can click on the link that says free relocation kit. Depending upon your needs, you can get information about schools for your kids,
okay,
jobs, you know, what sports teams or facilities are in there, neighborhoods, community, shopping, what job opportunities are available. It can encompass a lot of different areas.
So can I ask, so how do you vet these potential real estate agents, right? Because now you have people, I'm going to bring up social media, I'm going to bring up Grindr, I'm going to bring up Scruff. You have people that are catfishing people, right? You have people on the internet that are not necessarily giving their full truth. How do you vet somebody so that you know when you connect a client to them that they are getting actual care and they're not going to walk into a situation where they are going to be denigrated or made to feel less than?
We haven't had that experience in 25 years. I mean, we've certainly had some buyers and sellers that may have not had a perfect relationship with their realtor. Oftentimes, that may be a personality conflict more than anything. But what we do when an agent wants to join gayrealestate.com is we actually do vet the agents. We do have a conversation with them. We do want to know their statistics, not only in real estate, but what are they doing in the LGBTQ community? How long have they been out? How long have they been in this business? How much of their business is serving the LGBTQ community? What do they know about the LGBTQ community in their community? All of those sorts of things. And keep in mind, after 25 years, there's many of these agents that we've closed hundreds of deals with. We close almost a deal a day nationwide. Many of these agents have done tons of business with us. We actually have the ability to place our top agents in the top 1, 2, 3 positions in each city. So statistically, Google says that 60% of the clicks will land on one of those three people. We want to ensure that someone has the opportunity of working with the best agent in that city, but we also want to give them a choice.
Right,
so all of the agents have been vetted. And if we have an agent that hasn't performed or has a poor review, we stay personally involved in these deals until they make it to closing. That agent will be removed from the site.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So how many people at this point, I don't know if you have this demographic, but how many people have you relocated into a positive, healthy environment?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, there's this whole debate about the gayborhood and the dying of the gayborhood.
Right.
I lived in Denver, Colorado for 37 years, recently moved here full time after spending some winters here over the past half a dozen years. And in Denver, even Capitol Hill and the Cheeseman Park area was always the gay friendly area. And it's where everyone wanted to live. And as Denver has grown, as the community has grown, people get priced out of those neighborhoods.
Right.
Old apartment buildings get converted into condominiums and they're selling for $500,000. People can't afford them. So that whole, I think we have to be careful what we wish for. We want to be included and inclusive. But we have some grieving over those, the loss of some of those neighborhoods. So when you say put into a positive, friendly environment, I'm not sure these days what that is.
Right.
It's what your individual circumstance. But we, last year, for instance, 277 families or individuals we helped relocate in the United States.
That's amazing.
This year we expect to do almost a deal a day nationwide.
That's amazing.
So I have a question.
Yes.
So you mentioned that it's not only exclusively LGBTQ real estate agents. You do have friends of our community that also work for you and do services for you. What kind of conversations do you have with these agents when you're bringing them on board to explain to them that, you know, we are targeting a specific demographic? What are your thoughts on the demographic? How do you feel that you're going to be able to help the community and what you bring to the table? How does that conversation go with the allies in our community?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, we have so many agents on the site right now that we turn away more agents than we can bring on. If someone is really persistent after us, we'll take a good hard look at them and see if we can get them on the site some way. But most cities are sold out. And when I say that, it doesn't cost an agent anything to be on the site. When I say they're sold out, it's because we've capped that at 15 agents per city.
Gotcha.
So the straight allies are seeking us out as much as the LGBTQ realtors are. And they're often seeking us out because they have a son, a daughter, a sister, a brother that's LGBTQ, and they've witnessed what happens in our community, what can happen, and they want to represent LGBTQ individuals. So we have the same vetting process with them as we do with our gay and lesbian agents.
That's amazing.
So not to get to the nitty gritty, but I want to talk a little bit about why it's so important for people of the LGBTQ plus community to actually reach out and use your resource, use LGBTQ individuals that are selling homes for our community. Why is that so important, and why does that serve our community so well?
Okay, so here's why it's important. You have many choices when it comes to buying or selling a home. Now, you can meet a realtor at an open house and buy a home from that person. You can get a flyer in the mail. You can walk into a REMAX office or another office and meet an agent. You never know for sure what you're getting. Most agents are professional. Most agents will treat you kindly. Most agents will be happy to work for you and help you find a home. The one thing that I ask people to think about is, where is that money going? That agent is going to take you out and sell you a property for $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 and make a commission check of, you know, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000. And is that agent, you know, tithing part of that commission to their church, the very same people that are trying to stifle and quiet our community? is that agent, you know, donating money to the Trump campaign? Now, you know,
preach.
I don't like to be decisive. I don't like to be the guy, but I want people to be aware of where their money is going. Right. When you use a real estate agent at gayrealestate.com, the one thing that we do with our company, we support 20 LGBTQ nonprofits financially monthly.
That's amazing.
Everything from HRC to the Trevor Project to the Matthew Shepard Foundation to GLAAD. 20 organizations, and you can go to our website to find out who they are. We write a check to them every month.
We're giving back
to our community. We want to make sure that people support our community and we give back in that regard.
That's
beautiful and amazing. And I'm not going to cry.
Don't make her cry. Chris,
I cry all the time.
But, I wanted her to cry.
No, but I want to, you know, that is such an important topic that he brought up. Where's the money going? But I also want to talk about why it's so important to use somebody who knows the community in their area and where they are actually being relocated. Hey, this is a good neighborhood, right? So like,
right.
So that's a huge part of it. Am I correct? Like, I'm going to be relocating from Connecticut to Omaha, and I want to find a neighborhood that I know that I'm comfortable in and that my
Omaha's
kids will
not
be
ready.
No, she'll never be ready.
Nowhere's ever ready for her.
But like, but that's a huge part about it, right? So your real estate agents must be seeped in this information. They understand their neighborhoods that they're researching and giving homes to, right? So they're bringing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as licensed real estate professionals, we can't steer anyone to a neighborhood. It's against the law. But I can educate you about neighborhoods. You know, I can tell you that the Capitol Hill neighborhood in Denver is very LGBTQ friendly. I can tell you that the Stapleton neighborhood has a nickname called Gapleton. You know, I can tell you about Highlands Ranch. I can tell you where as my mother-in-law calls it, the gay headquarters is on Colfax, the LGBTQ center. So this is the stuff that you want to know, you need to know. I can align you with a gay mortgage lender. Do you realize that in any state in the United States, you can be denied a mortgage for being LGBTQ?
What?
I don't understand how
Pump
that's
the
not. Yeah,
breaks.
I don't
what?
Understand how that's not against the law.
Hold yeah, on. It's there are no laws protecting it.
Well, I mean, if you look at
in 28 states in the United States, you can be kicked out of your housing for being gay. I mean, this is serious. This stuff is happening.
So then, what do we do to help people in these states, such as like Alabama? I've mentioned them. I always feel like I go after Alabama, but it, you know, states right. like Alabama, Kansas, Mississippi, these deep
Louisiana,
right. yeah, all these, even Florida. I mean, Florida is an incredibly divided. Yes, of course, there are havens in Florida for LGBTQ right. people, but like, what do we do to help people in states like that?
You know, it's a good question. All we can do is what we can do individually, right? Mm-hmm. So part of what we do is to give financially. Part of what we do is support candidates that are standing in position for LGBTQ rights and that sort of thing.
So I want to go back a little bit to what we were just talking sure. about. We were talking about the fact that you can be denied a mortgage mm-hmm. or kicked out of your home. How can a real estate agent through your website help in providing or ensuring that that doesn't happen? Can they, or is it just like steering you in the right direction of the right person?
Well, they can't. I mean, the laws are the laws. So, I mean, if you're living in a state that doesn't have any protections, you're just not protected. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's a roll of the dice. So,
there's
not a good answer.
First and foremost, so if you are denied a loan in a state that's very anti-LGBTQ, can you go out of state and apply for a loan with a mortgage company that is LGBT friendly?
Sure. There are nationwide lenders right now. You know, there's Quicken Loans. They go by Rocket Mortgage now. Uh-huh. There's Wells Fargo. There's Bank of America, places like that. There are lots of places that I'm not telling you you're going to be denied a loan for being LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you the facts that there are no legal protections for LGBTQ people in the United States, and you can be denied a loan. That's the fact.
I mean, people can still lose their jobs
right,
for being LGBTQ in certain parts of the country. Yeah. And the president of the United States used to deny people housing based on the color of their skin.
Yeah. Exactly.
But you know, can I ask, I don't know if there's any like information or demographics on this. Like, is how many people actually do get denied a loan? Do we know this information? Like, is that something that we should actually be standing up and saying something about? Like, is this happening on a regular?
We don't know how often it's happening, but one of the things that we do at gayrealestate.com is we put out two press releases a month, so we put the pressure on our elected officials and city officials to make sure people are aware of this. We put out a press release a couple of months ago, and you can find these on gayrealestate.com, listing the top 10 most gay-friendly mortgage lenders in the United States. And the way that we did that, the information is really difficult to find, is we went inside of those companies and looked at their human resources documents. We want to know how they treat their own employees.
Right, of course, yeah.
Do they have LGBTQ protections for their own employees? If we do, then we know that that would translate into them being an LGBTQ-friendly lender. That's the only way we can find out. Mm-hmm.
So you had mentioned earlier that when prospective homebuyers are looking into certain areas, your realtors or you yourself could not steer someone towards a specific community because it violates the law. Can you elaborate a little bit as to why? Because now I'm curious.
Well, what happened back before civil rights laws were passed is, you know, black folks wouldn't be allowed to, you know, wouldn't be showing white neighborhoods.
Right.
So, you know, typically a realtor would work with an African-American couple would drive them to the African-American neighborhood and say, look at all these homes here. Which one do you want to buy? Which was completely unfair and completely unbalanced and completely against everything we believe. So, you know, that could go either way. I mean, you could work with someone that you don't know at, you know, a real estate office, and he may drive you as a gay man right to the neighborhood that they know where all the gays live and say, where do you want to buy a home?
Yeah.
But he or she may not show you a home in the neighborhood they live in.
Gotcha. It's
so
very true.
You know, that would be against the law. And, you know, I'm not sure how much it happens, but it certainly could.
And it's very important because essentially before the Civil Rights Act, essentially people were being herded. African Americans were being herded into certain neighborhoods. And this also had to do a lot with voting. It was pushing them away from polling stations that were easily accessible. So it's a big deal that these laws are put into place, that they can't steer people or essentially, like I said, herd them into these areas where it's going to affect the states or the cities or municipalities politically.
So,
awesome.
That's amazing. So thank you for that information. But I wanted to ask you one question for myself. So you founded, you know, the gayrealestate.com. It wasn't called that before, but that's what it eventually ended up becoming.
Right.
Can you talk about the experience of one of your most biggest successful experiences from one of your customers, you know, in the beginning? And how did that make you feel, you know, starting something so not conventional, right? You know, this is a gay real estate company, and we're here to serve the LGBT community. Can you talk about your very first experience as a gay real estate agent servicing a gay, you know, a gay couple or someone who wanted to buy a home, what that experience was like and how that made you feel?
So here's what's interesting. I started as a real estate broker at RE/MAX, as you know, in the early 90s. In about 2000, I bought a real estate company in Cherry Creek in Denver, had 70 agents there. And in about 2007, I sold that company because I was so busy at gayrealestate.com. So I'm a licensed broker. I'm licensed to do business anywhere in the United States, a referral type business that I'm doing. But I haven't worked with a client in many, many years individually. But what happens is, you know, the 1,500 plus agents at our site, every time a deal closes, I actually hand write a note, and I wish I had one of those in front of me. It's a pop-up card, and I thank the person for using gayrealestate.com. I include a card. We include a $20 Starbucks card and just, you know, thanks. We appreciate your business. They also get an electronic survey. So we get survey comments back every day from people that have been like, oh my gosh, not only did I, you know, find my dream home, but I have a new best friend. I didn't know anyone in the city. And now Tom and I, or Dave and I, or Cindy and I are best friends, and we're going out for cocktails Friday and blah, blah, blah. I mean, so we get so many amazing comments. A lot of those, again, are shared at gayrealestate.com. But, you know, I'm just in gratitude every day for the opportunity to be able to help people, for the opportunity to be able to align these people, and then for the opportunity that I've had to be able to just give back to the community. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you were listening earlier. I just wanted to point out the little things matter. A handwritten note goes a very long way.
I know.
Way.
I'm in development now. I know.
It goes a very long way.
Right.
Oh, God. Everybody's like, just write a handwritten note and put it in the mail. I'm like, I hate my handwriting.
Hire a calligrapher.
No, I tried that and I was told I couldn't do that. So I want to ask another question before we wrap this up. What brought you to this? Like, how did you get from, you know, just being a real estate agent to realizing that this was a niche and something that needed to happen? Like,
you know,
sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
you.
Go.
You know, just paying attention. I have this entrepreneurial spirit, and I always have. When I was a kid, and this is a long time ago, before any of you guys were even born.
Maybe not that one.
I think so. My dad had a motivational book and tape store. So I was kind of listening to Earl Nightingale and Zig Ziglar and Robert Schuller and all of these people before it was hip. And I had to do book reports on this. So I've always had this optimism. I've always had this awareness. I've always kept my eyes and ears open. And it was, you know, probably through that, and through just this awareness, just being aware, every day we have an opportunity to serve people. And if you're aware, there's amazing opportunities out there always.
Yeah. Wow.
That's amazing. Well, listen, I'm pretty sure that you have much work to do. And,
can I just say one more thing?
Absolutely. Go
for it. Can we send you a real estate agent that we think you should list in New Haven? Because, like, I'm looking. So I'm on your website right now, and there are a couple of people here in Connecticut. And I think you need to list another person, because all he does is cater to. He
caters to a lot of people, but he sold me my home.
He's amazing.
He gave that queen a castle.
He's amazing, yeah, and he literally does such amazing work with the gay community, and I think that he should be on your website. So can we send him your information?
We would love to have you send him our information. And anyone that's listening, if you have a real estate agent that has served you well, send them to gayrealestate.com. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a button that says Agents Join. They can click on that and get it. More information about our company. We'd love to have them be a part of it.
Can I ask one more? I know.
Go for it.
One more question. So you say that. Send people to you. So if somebody sends somebody to you, what can they expect for work? Do you think that they're going to get a lot of work out of being on gayrealestate.com?
You know, they're not going to be able to sit back and live off of the leads they're going to get on gayrealestate.com. I can do that, fortunately, because I have the entire country to work with. How many people are... For instance, I'll use Palm Springs as an example. In December, we closed 8 deals here, okay. And that went to probably 4 or 5 different agents. So I think an agent, depending upon your city and the size of the LGBTQ community, you may close a deal, you may close a half a dozen deals in a year. So it will certainly add to your bottom line. In addition to gayrealestate.com, we also have, just so you're aware, gaymortgageloans.com that I developed. It's a free database of mortgage lenders nationwide. Mortgage lenders can be on there. I always recommend that people align with a realtor first, because if you're aligned with an LGBTQ friendly realtor, that person will know the mortgage lender that they know, trust, get the deal done.
Absolutely.
That's how you should find your lender.
But also what's amazing too is, like you were saying earlier, so if you find a real estate agent, whether you're looking for a new home in Connecticut and you live in Connecticut, or you're looking to relocate, you find somebody on gayrealestate.com. Anything that goes into gayrealestate.com or gaymortgage.com, is that correct?
Gaymortgageloans.com.
That's going back to the LGBTQ plus community, and that is what's so special about
this. And keeping money out of the hands of people who are fighting and paying money to take our rights
away. Exactly.
But
yes, just it's important.
I do want to point out, though, anybody looking for real estate in Connecticut, they tax you on everything.
Welcome to Connecticut.
Everything, and I mean everything.
Your lube, they tax you on your shower shot.
I mean,
they tax
you on your shower shot. I was like, he's in California. They started the tax on shower shots.
Right. Oh, Lord have mercy.
I think so.
I mean, yeah, but that's amazing information. Listen, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your day to join us and educate us a little bit about, you know, the possibilities of really having a truly amazing experience with services like the ones that you're providing, because again, it was something that I wasn't aware that was available, and yet I still ended up with my Mary, you know, real estate agent, and I love him dearly and he was amazing, but that's not usually the case for a lot of our friends and family and folks and brothers and sisters in our community. So thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so grateful to have the opportunity. Thanks for the invite. You guys have an amazing studio there. It was so fun talking with you guys. Thanks for all you're doing on the planet.
Thank you. It was a good time. And like Judy Garland says, there's no place like home. So check out this business.
That's right. So again, Jeff Hammerberg, thank you so much for joining us.
I love my gay out.
You guys can go to gayrealestate.com and get more information on the services that they're providing to customers, and also if you're real estate agent and you're looking to get on that list, definitely go to their website and make sure that you sign up as an agent.
Do you have any social media?
I do have social media.
Tell us.
At Instagram, Gay Real Estate Agents. On Facebook, Facebook/Gay Real Estate. You can get a hold of me directly via our toll-free number. If you call in, if you want to ask me a question or have a conversation with me, call our toll-free number. It's listed on the website. It's 888-420-MOVE-6683. Just say, I want to speak with Jeff. They'll transfer you over. I'm available.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day. I'm pretty sure you still got some daylight hours up in your end, because we're dark here.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a couple more hours of daylight here.
Get out there. Enjoy that 80-degree weather. We're super jealous. And thank you for joining us.
I'll send some your way. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye. We'll see you soon. Bye. Right.
Well, guys, that was Jeff Hammerberg. And again, that was Gay Real Estate, gayrealestate.com. He is the founder of the website, and the services that they're providing, from what it sounds like, is just absolutely amazing.
Wait, that was what?
You're killing me, by the way.
Why?
Wow. You fucking can't say things like you said on the show just 5 minutes ago.
Why?
Because it's like, we had a personal conversation earlier, and then you're like,
oh,
being super gay. And I'm like, oh my God.
Shut up.
I did catch that.
But what was the website again? What was the website again?
It is
gayrealestate.com.
Oh my God, are we sponsored by gayrealestate.com?
Well, unicornbooty.com don't exist anymore.
Exactly.
Maybe we should start using gayrealestate.com.
Jeff, not really.
If you're listening.
Yeah.
We need a sponsor, and you're going to be the sponsor, gayrealestate.com.
That's right. It's expensive to keep these lights on.
Let's practice it. Ready? This story is brought to you by
gayrealestate.com.
Yes. Oh, we could do this. We can totally do
this. We can make that work.
All right. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay.
All right. Well, listen, guys, we do still have a couple of more stories that we wanted to talk about, so I'm going to kick it over to Nick,
because
Nick is going to tell us everything about
it. Is she actually ready for this one?
Yeah.
She's ready for it.
She's not.
Are you kidding me? She literally sauced
it. Oh, right. Queer eye
she
stuff.
Literally, like, she threw the soup on, she jumped in.
Sauce.
And she sauced
She
it.
Made sauce
can we just say
all
that,
weekend.
Can we just say that Chris said I'm not usually ready?
What? Yeah. Usually it's like, all right, Trish, your story. He's like, oh, I wasn't ready.
Why don't you go to Chris, huh? Sorry.
Oh my God. I forgot to tell you that Spam in your fridge, Tom, it's starting to lose its color. You should probably get rid of that. All right, go ahead, Trish.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about.
Why are you in my fridge?
Because I had to get your Red Bull to make you a fucking cocktail.
Thank you. So I wanted to talk about Queer Eye Season 3 because it's available on Netflix. I may or may not have binged it all day on Saturday. I'm done with the season. Yeah, pretty much. So I don't know what it is about this show or about most shows I watch, but I cry constantly. At one point, my roommate looked over at me and he was like, Are you okay? Are you sure you want to watch this?
Yeah.
Because I'm like ugly crying because they are doing such beautiful work.
Like, I remember the original Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and it was a fun and cute and cuckoo, let's dress this little straight boy up and make him look cute.
It was all fabulous.
And blah, 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 and make sure that his bathroom is clean and that there's no stains on his mirror, and we'll call it an episode. But this is not that Queer Eye.
No, they are taking it to another level. I mean, they are literally embracing what I like to think is so powerful about our community. We are powerful because we can like share emotional stories and actually talk to people and bring out why they are in a place that they are in. But not only that, so it's not just the reason you dress a certain way or your hair's a certain way or you've gained weight or you've lost weight or you live a certain way. There is a reason that you have in your life gotten to this point. And what they do is help you find that reason and help you through that process. And they talk to you. They don't just say, hey, put this on, you look better. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, why do you feel the need to say that about yourself? Why do you feel the need to wear this? Why do you feel the need to do this or do that? Why are you afraid about this? They literally talk, and it's in like they have beautiful moments, and yes, they're teaching them everything as they go, but at the same time they're taking the moment to say, why did you grow your hair this long? Why, you know, like why haven't you done anything about this?
They're trying to go deep in and find out what drives some of the actions that these people take on their daily lives.
And reality, we all know, we all have had those moments where we let ourselves go in different ways, whether it's your hair, whether it's your weight, whether it is you're rubbing your stomach, that's why I said it. Whether it's anything, like you no always shame. Have I moments like where you let yourself go, whether it's you lost a job, you lost a significant other, you got kicked out of your home. There are so many beautiful stories surrounding this country that we finally get to connect with, and people that are going through the same thing get to finally connect with. And my roommate was like, why are you crying so much? And I'm like, because all of these stories that we're hearing, there's somebody out there that's going to connect with this in a way, and it's going to change their life in a way that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And I think that's why it's so important and so beautiful. So all that being said, my summation of my emotional experience this weekend. Uh-huh. There are two stories that I'm going to bring up from the season. And one was this woman, African-American lesbian woman who was adopted and kicked out of her home when she came out of the closet at a young age, and she lost everything. She lost her life. She lost her family, or at least she thought. She lost everything, and they came into her life, and they were like, why do you feel the need to take care of everybody? Why do you feel the need to not take care of yourself? And it's because her entire life, she had to take care of herself. Uh-huh. And she didn't want anybody else to have a burden of taking care of her, because the one time that happened for her, it walked away. It left her. And she no longer had that safety net. So she then took it upon herself to take care of herself and then care for other people. And this beautiful woman, this beautiful, amazing woman, had an amazing experience with the Fab Five. And the episode's actually called Black Girl Magic, lesbian of color who was kicked out of her home. And so this just was aired on Friday. So on Friday, it was released, I believe. Within a 24-hour period for this specific individual, $12,000 was raised to send her back to college.
On just that one episode.
That's fantastic.
And that's amazing.
Queer Eye fans raised, just in a 24-hour period, I don't know where they are now, $12,000 to send her to school.
That's awesome. And what does she want to study? Do we know?
I don't know what she wants to study. But the fact is she dropped out of school. In the story, you'll hear it. She dropped out of school and she's now a waitress because she couldn't afford it anymore.
Yeah.
And she now...
And that's usually the case for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot it's of people don't realize here. The cost, how much going to college now costs.
Well, I think a lot more people are realizing it now because that's becoming a huge issue across the Democratic Party, their platform going into this upcoming election.
Yeah.
So her name is Jess, I'm going to say it wrong, Gilbeau. Anyway, she has money coming in, and we're going to post that link on our post tonight. We're going to make sure that people know that they can put money out there for this GoFundMe for her. Again, another beautiful experience. And this was their first lesbian that they actually helped out. And it was really, really, it was powerful and beautiful. And oh God, I just want to go into it so deep. So one of the individuals in Queer Eye is adopted. There's another who's African-American. And the stories that they share with Jess, it's so powerful, and it just brings you to this place where you realize like everything that you went through, as much as it has like made an impact on your life, has nothing to do with something that this person went through. It's so different, but so powerful. And so your experience, whether how that shaped your life, this has shaped her life. And all of these people are now helping her rebuild it. And it's just so beautiful that these five guys are creating an environment like this.
That's amazing, though.
So there's one more thing I want to bring up before we close out the show. Same, we're still on Queer Eye. And it's about two older sisters, the Jones sisters that were in Queer Eye. And they put their daughter through college. They have been running this barbecue restaurant in Kansas for years. Their father established it. They developed this recipe with their father. It was a amazing story, and seeing these women tell their story was beautiful.
Jones Barbecue.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. But what's crazy is they have been working so hard that they actually, everybody's been asking, can I buy your barbecue sauce? Can I this? Can I that? And then they started to do it, and they tell a little bit about it, but it got too much for the two women. And these guys helped them by connecting them to a bottling company. And it was released on Friday. Their sauce has sold out nationwide.
That's amazing, though.
But I want some right now.
Right? It's like, oh. That's really good barbecue sauce is so hard to come by.
And
can't really do like that craft stuff that you see on the shelf. It's like you want some of that good stuff, some of that home.
Yeah, the fact that they sold out, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, amazing. I mean,
nationwide.
Yeah, and you know, one of the most powerful moments, that is amazing, and it's going to help them so greatly. And what they did with the restaurant is beautiful now, was amazing. But one of my favorite moments is one of the sisters, the aunt in the show.
She lost
one of her front teeth.
Teeth.
And
words are hard.
And one of them was gold, or like had a cavity filling that it was a gold tooth. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they took them all, they got their hair done, they had a spa day because all they do was work. They, you know, picked out clothes, but then they took the aunt to a dentist, and the aunt had a moment where they literally, you know, I mean, she went through the whole thing, it was hours of work, and then she looked in the mirror. And she finally smiled. And if you watch her in the beginning half of the show, she covers her.
Yep.
She's covering her mouth every time she smiles. And all she does the entire time is smile. She's a smiler. She wants to share love. And then when she finally looked at herself and smiled and said, oh my God, I can share this with everybody. It was, she could not control herself.
That's amazing.
And so, like, that's what's so powerful about this Queer Eye. It's not about it is in ways about surface, but there's a deeper meaning, and they see things and they're like, you know what? I'm not going to spend money on this because this is going to make the difference.
Right. And it is about surface. I mean, to an extent, you're absolutely right. But the smile is something that's so important to someone, especially someone who wants to share love.
Yeah.
And to have that be, you know, fractured or have some kind of issues with it, that can tear a person down.
Of course, so a smile is a gateway to the first impression someone will have of
absolutely
you.
The first and, thing you notice, you know, are teeth.
I mean, we are taught that when you speak to someone, look at them in the face,
right?
Look at them eye to eye and have a conversation, be engaged. These are some of the things that a lot of successful speakers always advocate, right? And then, but when you have something that really is just off, and it's not because of your own doing, it's just not there.
Right.
It breaks down that foundation of being able to engage someone and have a positive reaction, not only for you, but for the other individual as well.
Right. And by working on this woman's teeth, it was more impactful than doing her hair, redoing her wardrobe, reorganizing her apartment, you know, renovating
the restaurant.
Right, yeah. Exactly. What it was, it gave her a smile back.
It gave her confidence. I mean, like, if you watch it, like, so they have every, you know, episode, there's like an event to show off the change or whatever. Right. And not necessarily show off. In some cases, it's just like a dinner party or something.
Even one we watched together was the bushy-haired guy, and he had the girl over. His old, like, girlfriend from the past, and that was beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, in this case, like, they had finally gotten their bottle, the sauce, the bottle, the label, everything.
The packaging and everything.
And she's walking around fucking ear to ear with cheesing. A smile, cheesing, like, you're going to buy our sauce. Make sure you buy our sauce because it's going to be everywhere and you want to get it now. And, like, she was just, like, ruling the room. And, like, that little bit of effort and care took this woman from being not confident about who she was
broken.
And the beauty within her to this woman who ran the entire room.
There's nothing better for sales than amazing product bottled and sold with amazing confidence. Mm-hmm. And so what they did for her was give her an opportunity not only to help the business, she's helping herself.
Right.
And she's helping herself help the business. Listen, honestly, if they just gave her teeth and said, go into your restaurant and do what you got to do, I'm sure they would have found a way to really be extra successful, even more successful than they were already. The fact that they did that for her, that boost of confidence would have probably been everything that mm-hmm. she needed to just go beyond the stars. But the fact that they just literally took everything and encompassed it all.
Yeah. And the first rendition of Queer Eye was great, but they're not just setting somebody up. They're setting somebody up for the next step, but the step up.
Yeah.
And that's what's so important and beautiful about the show. And that's maybe why I cry so much, because I am, but, like, you struggle with life. You from day to day, it's like you never know what you're going to get. And it is hard. Every day is hard. And as an adult, you realize it's not easy. But guess what? It does get easier if you just follow that path and you keep taking those steps. And what these guys do when people get stuck in their path is give them that step in the stair that they can't see. And that's what's beautiful about what they do.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that story. And now you're going to just make me go and watch this season of Queer Eye for the straight guy and
or
sit
all
down
three.
And cry and all three and then sit there and cry like crazy like you.
Oh, God,
but
that was
thanks.
Terrible.
All right, well, listen, boys, we need to bring this home. There's a lot of stuff that we still have here, and we're going on an hour and a half. Big show.
I mean, not like last week.
Yeah, I know. All right, so listen, we've got three more things that we're going to cover, of course, something new that we've added that we are super excited about because she's awesome. So I'm going to kick it over to Nick once again.
All right, who's going to time me?
I'm on it. All right, everybody.
So it is time for Mama Kim's Minute, everybody.
That's
and
right.
Yes, I'm getting your emails now. So, number one.
Ready?
Go.
Go!
So Ben Platt praises.
You got to pick it up, girl. Come on.
No, stop rushing me. I only have five things to go through. Ben Platt praises encouraging his reaction to his coming out. He met with Ellen, and he literally is single. So if you're interested, reach out to Ben Platt because he's single. Two, drag queen Desmond is amazing. We're going to post this link on our website because unfounded, child abuse reports dismissed. This kid is really just becoming a star. Three, Sam Smith opens up about gender
halfway
identity,
there.
Body nice. Image in candid interview. So we really need to talk about this next time.
We but do.
Anyway, four, Queer Eye clearly covered 40 that.
Seconds.
Five, lesbians are also being killed in Chechnya and no one seems to give a fuck. We need to talk about this next
week.
We
do talk about it. We always look out for our brothers and sisters.
Lesbians and trans women are commonly murdered in honor killings as well, and that's something that we haven't covered as much as we should. And we are at 60 seconds, Mama
Nailed
Cam.
It! Nailed it, Trish. I'm proud of you.
I am proud of you, baby girl. So that was Mama Kim's minute,
right?
In 60 seconds.
And Trisha's cursive wasn't terrible.
She swings our way, and we're
Fuck
super
off.
Appreciative.
I love you too.
Oh God, boys!
Watch your right, mouth. So, we were just talking about Mama. You can't swear in front of Mama.
So being
Kim, Mama Kim, sorry, Mama.
Being that you already have the floor, yeah. Why don't we go into our next?
She's been talking a lot the past.
All right, so this week's Gay Talk term brought to you, of course, by GayRealEstate.com.
I thought you guys were going to forget, and I was going to do that for mine. I'm so mad right now.
Is
so
bi queen. So this week's Gay Talk term is bi queen, a homosexual man who has a desperate compulsion to buy furnishings for their home constantly.
Bi queen!
Thank you.
So this week's Gay Talk term is bi queen.
Me.
Not buy, like I'm buying.
Like purchasing.
Our gay buy. Talk card is maxed buy. Out because of the new fridge. Anyway.
It is not. That was on a separate credit line. Thank you very much.
Can we do On This Day in Gay History, please?
Yes.
Right. So, of course, On This Day in Gay History brought to you by GayRealEstate.com. I'm so mad that you remembered. I was banking on you guys forgetting.
Fuck her.
And, yeah, you right? know. So on this day in gay history, when March 18th, 1996, here in the US of A, the greatest country in America, the first LPGA player came out as a lesbian. In her coming out article, pro golf player, ready for this first name? Muffin. Oh, wait, I didn't even put those two together.
I did.
Anyway, Muffin Spencer Devlin explains, quote, "To create a rainbow, first you have to have rain."
That's right. Pour it.
"Then you need light."
That's right.
"When you're out and ready to fly the rainbow flag, you're ready to shine a bright light on yourself."
Oh, I like that.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
So thank you, Muff. And I did not mean for that. I really like burped when I said it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Muffin. No, I thought that was beautiful. I wasn't trying
thank
to make
you,
fun.
Muffin.
Thank you, Muffin.
All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for tuning
I'm
in.
I'm going to be in trouble now.
Week after week, you're going to get some nasty emails. Ooh, girl, you're in trouble. If you love the show, make sure that you go rate and review on your favorite podcasting service. This helps others know about the show, and it ensures that it becomes more visible within the podcasting community. By subscribing to our show, you get the latest and greatest delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can also support us on Patreon. With Patreon, you, our listeners, can help support the show with a pledge donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. And you also get access to this amazing craziness of a video that we provide for all of our Patreons. Nick? Or Chris?
Or, yeah, you know, maybe me. I'm here this week, actually. So
next week, we welcome no one. It's all about the dish. We're going to have another wonderful full episode of our stories. A lot coming from Tom, a lot coming from me, and, of course, a ton coming from Trish. So be sure to get your earplugs because it's going to be a squeaker.
I like how animated she became for that.
I hate you so much. Thank you to our guest, Jeff Hammerberg.
I wish
you could hammer Chris. Anyway, Jeff Hammerberg, for joining us today.
Been there,
you
done that.
You can visit their website at GayRealEstate.com for more information. And we will be sure to post that on our post tonight.
That's right. All right. And Christopher?
Can we please put a rubber on this?
Yes. Last week we put a dental dam on it.
Oh.
We did.
Because we had Meg on
you
the
You remembered when I said that.
No, she's nasty.
No, I just
we're not
threw
giving
it out
you credit
there.
For that.
Wait, was
I
that
got
with
credit
Meg?
For it.
Were you there?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. No, exactly.
That's why she was laughing so hard.
Yeah, I was like, no, that was actually that. Had
so
been
I did
up
not
before.
Remember that, but I definitely threw in dental dam.
There it is. So like me last night, let's put a rubber on it. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, but he needs a full stop first. Wait, what? She put a rubber on it?
Close
anyway,
the show.
Nick announces you can find us on social media. Chris got, anyway, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. Thanks, Dr. G. Email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. And for all you bottoms out there, if you need to reach out to us, you can head on over to our website and click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser, where you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, you can even submit a question for the bottoms of the show, and you can
which is all three.
I fucking hate you. It hurts.
Oh. Oh my God. You can also call us and talk to your favorite bottom by calling 334
Gay Bottoms.
Oh my God, I can't.
If you need the numbers, that's
334-429-8255. Please, please, please do not forget that we stream live every Monday for all you bottoms from all us bottoms at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com/bottoms.
If you can't call us, feel free. Collect 1-800-GAY-BOTTOMS, GAYTALK.com.
Oh, I thought it was gay real estate.
Anyway,
still on
ladies
that?
And gentlemen, that is
Tops
our show.
Bottoms.
I would like to thank you so much for joining us, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish. Wow, 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 wow.